Stuart was an Indian town. Mm-hmm. It was all of larger than more flourishing than Hyder.
Mm-hmm. He was here. Where's Hyder and where's Stuart on this map? Where?
Not much. Mm. This would be about Hyder. Here. Here's Hyder and here's Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever. And this is all rolled up into one community here.
Uh-huh. So this is the United States down here.
This is the United States here.
Mm-hmm.
You get a map sometime.
Yeah, I will. That's interesting. How long were you in Hyder?
To April 1929.
So about a year,
two years.
Were they mild winters?
No.
Except for a lot of snow, or were they cold?
They don't have mild winters.
They don't. I think of Southeast as having mild winters. Guess not everywhere. Hmm. By the time you left, was there another commissioner that replaced you?
Yes.
Was it a political appointment? Yeah. Is that what this is?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you Republican?
Yes.
And the guy who came in as Democrat?
Oh, no, wait a minute. The post was vacant. It had been immobilized. It closed down for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the money came in there for them to maintain the judicial system. So when I reactivated when I went there. And when I left, I was succeeded by an attorney, an old friend of mine from Juneau. He was in Juneau when I went to Arthur Fox.
Oh.
He'd been in the territory a long time. He went to Hyder and succeeded me there. And I went to Ketchikan and assumed the same job in Ketchikan.
You were commissioner in Ketchikan then? How many people were there when you left Hyder? So there were about 1,000 people when you got there, right?
Half
that many when you left. So you really were there during the boom?
Yeah.
The boom time. Yeah. Which, is there a harbor? Is Hyder on the water? Could they take the ore or whatever that they were going to get from there and ship it down? How did that work?
Well, there are harbors on both sides of that. Shipping on a Canadian boat, took it over there. Shipping on an American boat, took it there from Hyder.
Mm-hmm. Which, was that again the Alaska Steamship Company? Did they ship out of Hyder?
Smaller vessels
called.
Mm-hmm. Well, they already got lost in that.
Did they take it to Juneau and then someone took it from Juneau down? Or did they just...
No, you come to Ketchikan first. You backtrack.
I'm backtracking, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right, you go to Ketchikan.
Then the mail boat came in there once a week.
Mm-hmm.
They were small vessels. 7 or 8 feet off, and carry a limited amount of samples from cargo.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's some degree they hold the sack door to catch camera, that's right.
Did they bring any of it to smelters?
There are no smelters in Alaska then or now.
Yeah. So where did they take it?
Tacoma was a place together with all the Americans. Going away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Still is.
Were there a lot of natives in Hyder?
None.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you left Hyder, how did your wife like Hyder?
Well, I don't know. I think she was a nice people there.
Were there any other women?
Oh, yes.
There was.
That was school, right? Couple churches.
Oh.
Couple of doors, pretty important.
Did they have any roads?
Yes. And the interior roads going around, after getting back up into the Canada again, come to the Big Missouri. Mm-hmm. It's the name of a mine that was developed up there. And also next to it was the another one, which was far larger, built on the Canadian side. And when they came, I don't think they had a reduction plan. They reduced the ore from, partly smelted it.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a tramway from there to Niagara, BC, across the Columbia, two or three times in the place. They brought this ore in bulk and went by tramway, about 10 or 12 miles long.
What's a tram line?
Lots of things goes overhead on a cable.
Okay.
And back and forth. And the ships called in there on scheduled basis, ore carrying ships, tubes to call. And they had quite a community up there. They were operating the ground underground, they didn't care about the snow, it was rather thin. But except that they had to ship in supplies, and they had to come by American vessel right across the line.
And this is Canadian gold, too, isn't
yes.
it? And they got it, they went down to smelters in Tacoma?
Yes.
Didn't they have any smelters in Canada?
Yes, they did, but this Tacoma was getting a technical problem. It was technically acceptable if they smelted Tacoma, they could have it without remaking their equipment, without British Columbia smelters' equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They had an incoming cargo there, a supply of powder and hardware and and the Premier Mining Company maintained an operating a line of horse-drawn sleds to hold the supplies in on slaves for.
Horse-drawn sleds?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had stables and then station hider, and they picked up this cargo and bound it on where the Canadian ships came in. And took it up there and
operating. Was it snow all year round?
No, but it was damn near. As a matter of fact, it had warm summers,
mm-hmm.
hot summers, Alaska.
Yeah.
2 months out of the year. And then the snow began to edge in. By spring, the snow already on the road for the team with 6 or 7 feet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have trouble with the sleds sliding off and falling down and the big snow coming through. But it didn't get off there until May.
What did they use during the summer months?
They used wagons.
Were there any problems with horses? You mean you see dog sled now. Did the horses fare well?
I think so. Mm-hmm. They had places along the way when they took the wheels and took the water and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
When the first started, they were out there on New Year's Eve, the mining community invited them, hired people up there. We went up in sleds for the two people. So.
Mm-hmm. So the first night you came up, you came up in sleds? From where?
I was living at Hyder, and they invited the community. There was 50 or 60 people at the party, more slaves. Hyder and Stewart,
mm-hmm.
up to the Premier Mine, about 14 miles up the valley.
Oh. Who owned the Premier Mine?
The Smelting and Refining Company.
It's a Canadian mine, though.
Yes.
But American company owned
yes,
it.
Yes.
So were they mostly American workers there, or were they?
Well, they were fussing all the time. Immigration and Customs agents there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fussing all the time about mine was trying to keep certain jobs on the plant open to Americans. And the Canadians were trying to stop them. So there was a little mild fussing about that.
In the end, what happened?
Nothing at all about the States.
Did you normally get around in sleds? Is that, or in,
no,
in horses,
no,
or in cars, or how did you walk?
Well, that's pretty close.
Walk.
Yeah, there were one or two cars in there. Last summer, Father had a commercial freight hauling. He hauled stuff up to the prospector and dumped it off. And he had a car. He hauled some of the back end of the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
But shortly after that time, it all, trucks were brought in there. The roads were improved, so.
Did the roads connect anywhere into Canada?
Just the Big Missouri Northern.
Just the
Premier Mountain.
So the roads would, they would end at Hyder, is that?
Oh, coming out, yeah.
They would just end?
There's a road between Hyder and Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
2 miles.
2 miles. Okay. Hyder seems very interesting. Seems like it must have been... It must have been a very interesting experience to be at Hyder.
Yeah,
from Hyder, where did you go? Did you go back to Ketchikan?
Yes.
And you were commissioner there?
Yes.
What kind of cases did you handle there?
We were still prosecuting bootleggers in the principal criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was just ordinary run-of-the-mill type of things.
Were there any mining interests at Ketchikan?
Yes. They were fragmented and spotty. There had been one time quite a little mining activity there, but the ore deposits were found to be shallow and worked out shortly. And they were, it was the tail end of the mining period.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back to Hyder.
What was the difference between Hyder and Ketchikan? What was Ketchikan like?
Well, Ketchikan was basically at that time it developed into a fishing village.
Mm-hmm.
Spent out along the beach there, 5 or 6 miles. And pretty many of the fishermen lived there and had ways to be hauled and go out and work on the maritime, like you see it in the pictures. And there was a cool storage plant with 7 or 8 salmon cans.
Mm-hmm.
And they used Philippine China labor and Chinese labor. Okay. They were brought in the summertime on the steamships.
Did they ever have problems with the Immigration and Naturalization Service?
Well, they didn't, not, I don't think so. They didn't buy out of any of them, probably. These people were, they had to get so off the
Philippines. About how many people came in? The Filipinos and Chinese?
Almost in an area of 1,000.
About 1,000?
Something like that. Yeah. 10 canneries, about 750.
So there were 10 canneries?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And then they increased to 50 or 60.
Were the only workers that came in, were they the only workers?
Oh, no. They had women and kids all working in canneries. Mm-hmm. Men fished. All the labor was consumed, that's the reason they brought it to a place in China. They couldn't get enough labor.
Still have problems?
Still have problems.
Yeah. Were there ever, is this when you developed an interest in a fishing law, a salmon? And that's sort of, up to this time you were dealing mostly with mining, is that right?
Right, right.
And now you were dealing with fishing?
Right.
Fishing types of things?
Right, yeah.
Well, I've heard from many people that you've represented many of the canned salmon interests. And is this the time in Ketchikan when you developed an interest in canned salmon and the problems of the salmon industry? Is that correct? So this is the is this your first was this your first experience dealing with the problems of how did it compare to dealing with mining law? Was it more interesting? Were there more?
I think it was a little faster. Turned over for the mining. Mining streets had a way of dragging themselves out. Partly because of the climate, too. Not speaking of hydrogen, it's not happening. However, fishing is highly seasonal, too. You see, the fishing is good within 6 or 7 months out of the year. Idaho is a mining state, North Idaho particularly, and the law school had a pretty good mining course there. So I knew something about mining and nothing about fishing.
Who are the other attorneys in town in Ketchikan?
At that time? Well, Lester Gore.
Was that Gore and Jernberg?
Yes.
Were they a partnership at that time?
No. I worked a little bit with them Lester until I wasn't really in Michigan. I'm not privileged in practicing law. I just can't practice in law, of course. And we worked together in Harvard, I sort of Texas education department. Until 1930. No, not the 31. He was appointed district judge at Nome. I'm not sure of that. I think that's right. Because it was an appointment in the next fall, 32. The Republicans lost out. He was already up there. So it must have been 31. Then I moved into the, I maintained an office there with him. I don't think this is anything to put in the book, but this is how it worked. And when he went to Nome, I took over his class. And when he came back, I had a different arrangement. I had a different joint office with him. So we were joined office partners from 1930, 31, 1960.
Oh, boy. What kind of practice did Gore have?
Fishing.
Fishing. So you took over all his fishing?
While he was gone.
While he was gone. What kind of cases were they? What were the disputes about?
Well, there was a criminal case element to that, but fishing violations. Which generally were handled by other lawyers. I worked in that area. All I had to do was seasons and so on, representing the industry from the federal groups who police the fishery and maintain its, determine the open seasons and I can't think of the right name. Wardens. They weren't necessarily just arresting people violating the regulations. They were holding hearings and processing new regulations all the time.
The wardens were?
Yes, the hearings were held in the law.
They
conducted the hearings.
Where did they get their authority? Were they lawyers or were they?
No, they were fishermen. Biologists, they were supposed to be a lot of them.
And they made the fishing regulations?
They made recommendations to the Commissioner of Fisheries in Washington, D.C. He made the regulations.
But they heard all the cases, or they?
They had hearings. They weren't lawsuits.
Were they fined? Was that? The penalty?
Now you're talking about something else again. You're talking about finding the sense of fishing on Sunday, which is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
Not fishing in closed waters, which is a criminal matter. What we're talking about is the process by which you determine what baits the fishing hope in a certain area, what baits are closed, what the general conditions are, and whether those are developed at hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And then first at the local level, and then at Seattle level, and then Washington, D.C.
I see. Oh, you did. Both you and Mr. Gore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The candidates had representation for these. Somebody was spoke on their behalf or advanced their our position.
Mm-hmm. So that's when you started working for the canneries. What canneries were there?
There were 12 or 15. All of them.
Mm-hmm. What were the names of some of the ones that were there when you first arrived?
Well, living there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mackinac.
Mm-hmm.
Did
Alaska Packers have one then, or not till later?
They had it. Yes, they were there. They looked at them. They had this state. But they closed them. They didn't maintain them.
What other part of the state were they?
Kodiak and Bristol Bay.
Bristol Bay, yeah. Yes.
Northwest Fisheries, we're out of the woods. Some of the parts of the country. The number of plants has decreased from 11 or 12 to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so bad?
Well, it isn't so bad. They have approximately the outcome of the production of the three of them that it doesn't have before because they developed high-speed and modern machinery mechanization which largely does it.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to plant, try to pack 40,000 acres, 40,000 cases. It's considered normal. Top side of normal. Now the plants trying to get 2 minutes on the case.
Oh my God.
Entirely different processing machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's automated.
So that meant fewer plants of that?
Right.
Fewer plants. Yeah. That was very interesting. When you did this while you were commissioner in Ketchikan, is that right?
Well, I wasn't commissioner very long. I was in 1932. Sometime in the spring of 1933, I was going there.
You left Ketchikan in 1933?
I came down the office. I didn't maintain the door.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time, I said, I'm driving it back.
About how many people lived in Ketchikan at this time?
3,500.
Mm-hmm. Were there any natives?
Yes.
Were there problems between whites and natives at the time? And I know alcohol is always a problem,
yeah.
You know.
I don't think, since you're trying to say it, like a racial problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. They were rather discriminated against the place. They had this area set aside for them in theaters and restaurants and hotels where natives could go and might be the living go. Natives are prohibited from going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They were discriminated against in the sense that they think of valid,
mm-hmm.
But they were working upon the area. They drank a lot. Jail time. But they were peaceful people. They were fairly black, so they were not drummers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the white population? What did most of them?
Most of them were the Scandinavian population.
Norwegian?
All of Scandinavia. The fishing operations were similar in southeast Alaska and Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
And these people came there and they understood the Scandinavians and Indians.
Did they get along at all? Or is it two separate
way to tell me you're going to hit me. You don't think I'm on charge. Mm-hmm.
What did the town look like?
It was spread out along the waterfront. It was about 6 miles of the waterfront. And the great man lived right on the beach. So they walked right from the house to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And drying racks and fishermen sell it. Then, of course, they filled all that space and then they built on the side of the hill up above. It's links inside the hill. As the general.
Mm-hmm. Was there a road?
There was a road in the highway there. There was a road about 3 miles from each way.
Mm-hmm.
6 miles or 7 miles away. Six streets. Cars weren't coming to use.
And 6 miles of road.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You all went out there once, I think.
They all lived and just kind of up and down the road,
yeah,
is that?
Sure.
Playing around. Yeah. Were there horses on the street too, or?
Some, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were there any wealthy people in Ketchikan?
Wealthy
in the sense, were there different classes of
yes.
people?
Yes, the. Special people and merchants. I think tend to look down on the Scandinavians.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't given any problem, weren't given any consideration. They just fence for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there were social structures. The white people and merchants and they tend to hold themselves a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Scandinavians didn't mind much when they
took. Why not?
They're a bit of them than each other. They talk to Scandinavian language that is generally used for half the town or so. They have to talk to Scandinavian language.
Did that kind of separate them even more? You know, their.
Well, I think it was. You know, they had difficulty in getting across the land.
Mm-hmm.
But their children went to school, and of course, they wanted to get away from their own land. Massive language, no matter.
Did you have any children?
Two.
One catch. At this time? Or they were born at this time? Did they go to school in Ketchikan? So you took over Gore. What other attorneys were in town in Ketchikan when you were there?
Well, let's finish the Gore thing. I didn't really answer that. I could say I kept that office the only one I had.
Mm-hmm.
When the war started, 41, 42, I spent more and more of my time in other places with the same as really had problems out here about getting coup back and forth and supplies and so forth and working with the military. And similar point, and I wasn't there much.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept the office until 1960 years. And Gore continued at that time. Back then, he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago.
So he kept the office even after you left it, is that?
Hmm?
He kept the office even after.
He kept the room.
He kept the room.
You know, and we had a scenario that worked for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was there very little. Family moved out to see it, so see how family went back to all the circle. 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He came back to Seattle in 1945.
So you went to Walla Walla from 41 to 45?
Yeah,
or your family?
We had home, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then from 45 to 60. To 60, you were in Seattle.
That's right.
Okay. Let's get back to Ketchikan. Do you remember the other attorneys that were in town?
Oh, I think so. You know, Holzheimer, William Holzheimer, H-O-L-T-Z-H-E-R-M-E-R, I guess. He had been district judge at Rome. After the United States Attorney in general. Ziegler, A.H. Ziegler was there. His claim to fame is he had a son named Robert. I don't remember when Robert was born. Yeah, no, I'll take that back. He was only a couple years different from me and my boy. He was 2 or 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as time went on, the timber more and more developed, more and more utilized.
Mm-hmm.
One sizable sawmill and 2 or 3 small ones. The timber was gradually becoming everyone part of the community's activities. And of course, about 40s, early 40s, the pulp mill was there. And then logging timber business became highly important at that stage of the game in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a year-round industry, fishing game season.
Did you ever do anything with the timber?
No,
they
came after I moved to Seattle.
They did. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the other attorneys in town?
Duggan and McCain, D-U-D-A-N. Sherman Duggan, Duggan. Sherman Duggan. And Harry McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N.
Were they a partnership?
Yes.
Duggan and McCain, or Duggan and McCain?
A.H. Ziegler. Bob's mother.
Mm-hmm.
There were 11 or 12 there, so I'm missing. Billy Paul, he was a native. Patrick Gilday, he was a
retired. How do you spell
him? G-I-L-D-A. George Grigsby.
Oh.
I was there when I came back from Ireland. Joe Keel, K-E-H-O-E.
Was he a judge?
Well, yes, he was there. I succeeded him as the United States Commissioner there. He had a practice of law, had an office every year or two, and then he became the United States Attorney. He looked at that time at Seward, just before they had the courthouse here, before they had the court system here.
Mm-hmm.
Then he actually became District Judge at Nolan. He painted quite a well established. His pictures are very much in demand in what we're here now. Ziegler, Grigsby, McCain, Duggan,
That's 10, including you. Was there a Ketchikan bar?
Was there a station? Yes.
There was.
On Saturdays.
For lunch?
Other activities.
What other activities?
Drinking.
All Saturday?
Well, for sure.
Where did you meet?
Well, we met in the back end of one of the restaurants there. It was a kind of like Ingersoll Hotel.
What hotel?
Ingersoll.
Is that I-N-G-E-R?
I-N-G-E-R, that's what I like. The judge attended. I wasn't in the political session.
Who was the judge?
Well, whoever it was. It was Tom Reed. No, Reed didn't come. He was not very well. But he was succeeded by
mm-hmm. What happened at the drinking meeting? Or meeting?
They were social things.
Mm-hmm.
Only just lawyer stuff like lawyers do. Politics.
Were many of these people involved in politics?
All of them.
All of them?
Previously they had been a delegate to Congress,
mm-hmm.
partially speaking. The Americans had both, neither one of them seated. You probably know the history of that, though.
Mm-hmm. The Sulzer case? Is that?
Hmm?
Isn't that the Sulzer? There's a case called Sulzer where I think it was a contested election. That.
Well, they carried on the contest for the full term of the two-year term, and then both on the last day, both of them were seated and both withdrew their 2 years' pay.
Well, that's a good way to work it out.
Yeah.
Why don't we just go down the line? As far as politics goes, was Gore?
Yes, he was active in Republican politics.
Republican politics? Did he hold any positions?
Yes, he was just a judge of law.
Just, that's right. Okay. Anything else? I noticed you watching. Do you have to go? It's okay. We can keep going tomorrow or set up another time. Let me just. There. Holzheimer was district judge at Nome?
Yes.
Right. You tell
the
me.
The other lawyer was the assistant United States attorney, Walter King.
Oh, you got him. Good. Walter King.
Yeah.
Was Holzheimer Republican?
Holzheimer and King were both Democrats.
Democrat. What about A.H. Sigler?
He was a Democrat. He was an active Republican. Ran for a delegate to Congress once against him with anyone.
Okay. What kind of law did he practice?
General.
Did everybody practice? Was it general practice?
Took everything you get.
Mm-hmm. So no one really specialized, did that?
Not. Probably not, no.
Mm-hmm. Were any of them known for doing anything particularly well? Any kind of,
Well, Griggs was a senator. And he was a good writer. He did very good. No, I don't think it has a sense to be, you know, a governor or a governor or a senator. None of us were specialists in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Was it hard to practice? Was it hard to make a living practicing law?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to get rich in it, but I didn't want to make a living unless I'm thinking about it a lot.
Sherman Dugan, how was he political?
D-U-G-A-N.
Dugan.
see if I can hear it.
In Anchorage? Was he Republican or Democrat?
I don't think. He was Republican. Yeah, he was Republican.
Did they meet in Ketchikan? Is that Dugan and McCain?
No, I think not. McCain was superintendent of schools here in the era or something. At least for him.
Was he a big talker?
Yeah. You'd have to confirm that. Did I say superintendent?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I imagine if he was in this, he just was told it for some more passion. I don't know. He's a smart fellow.
Where is he from?
Some place in Oregon. In one school.
Willamette is in Oregon.
Yeah.
Willamette?
Yeah. University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Where was Dugan from? Do you
remember? Middle West someplace. I
don't remember. Was Gore from Washington?
Yes.
He's from Washington. And Holzhammer?
Hmm?
Holzhammer? Where was
Holzhammer. He was a graduate of Ann Arbor. Well, I think he was Middle West. I know he's from Middle West. He'd been right in Seattle before he came to Nebraska.
Did he know any of the people you knew from Idaho?
No.
Ziegler, where was he from? Billy Paul.
He was coordinated. He was practicing. He was a specialist. He specialized in. He evolved. Younger than he did not do well, but Paul did fine.
He got paid, is that what you think?
He was a son at the end of the bar, well, after about a year, he left the bar, and he was great.
Was Fred in Ketchikan when you were there?
Worked for him.
Worked for him. In your office?
Yeah.
Was Billy Paul or William Paul, was he political at all?
All the time, yes. He was very active.
Democrat?
No, Republican.
Oh. Did he seek office, hold office?
He left the legislature here once, I think. I don't think he was there that time. He didn't hold any other office at all.
What kind of cases, when you say native law, what kind of cases usually arose?
Well, they don't have to do with liquor. But they'd also have family internal. He could talk the language of family. And he could talk. And all of a sudden. They had the usual type. They emphasized their role in being sued by the other lawyers for collecting unpaid bills. You take care of that.
So the other lawyers would pay him to collect the bills from?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. The other lawyers would sue the natives. Mm-hmm. Sure, okay, Bill, the natives would assume all of the debt. And when they would be sued, they'd bring them out of Paul.
If they weren't paying the other lawyers, how did Paul get his?
They weren't the other lawyers. Luckily, the natives had a charge account at the FDR Heckman is a established figure there. He didn't pay the bill and turn over to Heckman's lawyer, Fleck, when he bought the suit to collect the bill, they called the friend of the neighbor, business.
Mm-hmm.
Other things are the same issue, divorces, probate.
Was Paul from Ketchikan? Was he born in Ketchikan?
No. Yeah, citizenship is challenged at the time of the period. You're going to be in China.